Any other announcements?
Ed Excellent Alcoholic.
Ed.
Thursday night, St. Mary's got their anniversary. I think it's 47. I can't remember. Food is at 6. Speaker AA and Al-Anon at 7.
Next Thursday. Yeah.
Or next Thursday, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Carbondale's?
November 4th.
November 4th. Any other announcements? For those who are new, we cover the book. This is our, we're in our 11th year. And so I tried to figure out how many meetings, about 1,300 or 1,400 meetings. And we are, on Saturdays, we are studying the fourth step in the book. We're in the, how it works. And on Sunday, we're on to wives, and then we're going to do a family afterwards, and then a vision for you, and then a couple stories, then we'll start the book over. We started the book over on Wednesday night, and we're on Bill's story, and then we're going to go right through and cover cover it again. Let's see, any other things? All right, so we're... Bill's story is was the first chapter written. He wrote this and submitted Bill's story, and there's a solution to the to a publisher to get a foreword, to get some money in 1938 to publish the book. And he wrote his story, and there's a solution. And then they, the whole thing of how the book actually got published is probably a meeting in itself. All the things that happened. But the book got published in early March in 1939. Before this book was written, there was no AA. The name of the book, we call it the Big Book, but it's actually called Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is Alcoholics Anonymous, this book. And the Alcoholics Anonymous is the 12 steps and the program in this book. And the book starts with Doctor's Opinion, which we've covered, which tells us the problem. And that's from Dr. Silkworth. And we're going to see Dr. Silkworth in this chapter because he's the one that told Bill W. what was wrong with him. And he understood what was wrong with alcoholics, and he was an alcoholic. He described our allergy of the body, that once we take a drink, we can't stop. Anybody have that problem? Anybody still have it? If you're an alcoholic, you still do. Yeah. And then the other problem we have is that we can't live sober. We seek the ease and comfort of alcohol because we can't live in the world. We get irritable, restless, and discontent. And our mind tells us we need a drink. Anybody have that? And so we can't choose not to drink. Alcoholics cannot choose not to drink. We have no power of choice. Now, if you have that, that's bad because that means you can't keep from drinking on your own. But then when AA... and we're going to read tonight where we got the steps. We have a program to get us a relationship with a power so that we don't have to drink. And that power, I call God, and they call it God. May you find him now. And God will tell me, bad idea. And so how do we find this power so that we have a power in our lives so we don't have to drink? Now, the other thing we try to do in AA is we try to lead a different life and have a different personality so that we're not in conflict with everybody and everyone, and we don't feel like crap all the time. And we learn that when we don't feel good today, we go to God instead of to the liquor store. I guarantee you, going to God works better every time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're tired of going to the liquor store, come here and we'll tell you how to get to God. It's all about that. So Bill's story is written by someone, our founder, and it describes the problem in great detail up to page 7. And then on page 8, Bill admits complete defeat. He says he was completely defeated. Quicksand surround him. Alcohol was his master. Anybody relate to that? Mm-hmm. Now, Bill didn't have a bad day and say that. When we studied the chapter, you can listen to the podcast on the site. It took him quite a while to get to that point. But he was completely defeated. The problem with Bill W. in 1934, when alcohol was his master, he had no place to go. There was no AA. There was no steps. There was no solution. And so he had a hopeless condition of mind and body. And then God said that, you know, he wanted, I believe, God didn't actually tell me this, but it's a thought I have, is that God looked at the world and said, I need to give the world some spiritual principles to live by so that they can follow through on what the Bible tells us we need to be. How do we do that, the steps? And he figured the only people that would do it were alcoholics. We'd be desperate enough to do the steps. Yeah. Well, it's true. And he gave it to us. And these are spiritual principles from God on how to live and how to be in conscious contact with him. And so Bill was defeated, and God said, we've had enough. I want to bring the steps to the world. And Abby Thatcher went to Bill, and they met in the kitchen. And in 1934, November, and Abby Thatcher was sober 60 days. He didn't end up staying sober all the time, but he was brought there and had the steps from the Oxford group. And he said to Bill W., I have religious idea and a program of action. And Bill W. was dying and said, I have enough liquor in the house, I can outlast him. He used to be his drinking buddy. He thought when he came, oh boy, this is great. Ebby and I, we can drink and we'll have some fun. But no, Ebby was serious. And so they talked, and Bill argued about whether he was going to be willing to believe in a power greater than himself. So Bill's dying. Actually, Bill was drinking when he was 12-stepped. But he had a lot of tolerance, so he was making some sense. And Abby told him about God. Bill didn't like the idea of God. Anybody ever heard that in a meeting? You know, person's dying. Oh, I don't want to hear about God. Well, too bad. You know, if you don't want to hear about it, that's fine. Shut your mind. Remember, if you don't let go of your old ideas, you're going to die, right? And one of those old ideas is that I could fix this. And I have a plan that's going to work. And we're telling you there's a different plan, and it's not you. And it involves a power greater than yourself. So Bill took the second step, and we covered that. And then last week, Bill went to the town's hospital and took the 12 steps. And we read that last week. Powerful pages, 12, 13, the top of 14. And so something happened to this man who was dying in the town's hospital in November 1934. And so Jimmy B's not here tonight, so I'm going to review. Don't tell him. And I'm going to read page 13 and 14 where Bill takes the steps. And if you do the things that he did here, then I guarantee you, you will not fail. So he says that at the hospital, I was separated from alcohol for the last time. Treatment seemed wise, for I showed signs of delirium tremens. There, I humbly offered myself to God. Sound like a step? As I then understood him to do with me as he would, I placed myself unreservedly, notice the word unreservedly, under his care and direction. So he took step two and three. I admitted for the first time that myself was nothing, that without him I was lost. And he admitted for the first time. Now I admit that every day. Others do in this room, right? Mm-hmm. First thing we do is pray. Why? Because we admit that of ourselves we're nothing. Without God, I'm lost. I ruthlessly faced my sin, steps four, became willing to have my newfound friend, God, take them away root and branch, steps six and seven. I've not had a drink since. My schoolmate, this is Ebby, visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. That's step four and five. We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment, steps eight and nine. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong, not theirs. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. Now, if you're new and you haven't studied these, I suggest you get on the site and listen to this when we went through it. These are very powerful paragraphs. This is the whole deal. I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. He has a relationship with God. There's something new. Common sense with us become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt. This is step 11, asking only for direction, strength to meet my problems as he would have me. Never was I to pray for myself, except as my request bore my usefulness to others. This is a whole change for this self-centered man who went into the hospital. And look what he's saying. Look how he's changed. We're going to look at that when we finish the chapter tonight. Then only might I expect to receive, and that would be in great measure. My friend promised, now this is a powerful paragraph, promised when these things were done. This is the greatest promise. I will have enter upon a new relationship with my Creator, a new one. The old relationship was God existed, but I never allowed him to work in my life. I played God. I'd pray to God and then go and run the show all day. That didn't work. And the new relationship is that God is God and I'm not God, and he's the Creator and I'm his servant, and he's the Father and I'm the child, and he's the director and I'm the actor. And if I do that, I have the elements of a way of living which answers all my problems. So I don't have any problems anymore. Just have situations. So here's what's required: belief in the power of God. Anybody can do that, right? Plus enough willingness, honesty, and humility to establish and maintain the new order of things were the essential requirements. Now what that means is to establish a relationship with God, to live in the world of the Spirit. That's 10 and 11 and 12. You have to do steps 4 through 9. So you do 4 through 9 to establish this relationship, then you maintain it in steps 10 through 12 every day. Simple but not easy. A price had to be paid, no free lunch. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. So how do I destroy my self-centeredness? You see, I can't do it. I can't wake up one day and say, I'm not gonna be self-centered anymore. The way I destroy my self-centeredness is through the actions of the steps. The process of doing that destroys my self-centeredness. Because when you're doing steps 4 through 9, you're admitting you don't have the power. You're taking actions with God to change the way you see things. And it says, I must turn in all things. Turn is a powerful word in AA. It's in the big book several pages, several times. Turn means to turn away from what? From me. So I must turn in all things. So I usually see things through my self-centered glasses. Anybody else do that? I don't like the way it looks. So I need to turn away from that and put on the God glasses. Here they are. These are special order, by the way. And when I put the God glasses on, things will look different. I don't see them the same way. And that's all we do in AA. We change the way we see things so that we're not disturbed. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. And I think Father of Light is in the book of James, but I'm not a theological expert. So here's where we're picking up. This is what we covered last week. We're going to cover the last three pages and then open up. It says these were revolutionary. They were revolutionary proposals. There was no 12 steps before this. There was no hope for us. The doctors can't fix us. We had no way to establish this relationship with God. Now, people can do it without AA in the 12 steps. I'm not saying that. But most people can't. They don't have a program that works. It's revolutionary and drastic proposals. Now, that goes back to page 25. And it says, if you can turn there, it's under There's a Solution. And it says on that first paragraph, there's a solution. It's in italics. You notice that? Okay. Squiggly writing is important. And look at the first line. Almost none of us liked the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings which the process requires for its successful consummation. That's what he's talking about. So then if we go back to what he just said, these are revolutionary and drastic proposals. Nobody comes to AA and says, I want to do a searching of fearless moral inventory of myself, and I want to admit my faults to God and others and make amends. I've never heard that the first meeting. But it works. They are revolutionary and drastic. But once you do them, they're almost automatic. Ed and other people talk about, right, Ed? It's almost automatic. Once you've learned the steps and you live in 10, 11, it's almost automatically. You say, I'm disturbed, I'm wrong. There you go, Michael, you're wrong again. Wrong judgment, wrong belief. And you don't have to live that way anymore. So the moment he fully accepted them, notice it's fully accepted. You can't work half of the program. It says, unless you let go of the old ideas completely, the result's nil. And half measures avail you how much? Nothing. It's not even worth doing half measures. Half measures is not even worth the time. Just don't even start. And the effect is electric. And people can describe that. You see it in new people when they've done their fourth or fifth step and they're celebrating their early birthdays. You can see a change in them. In this meeting, we've seen that a lot. The ones who've been coming here for a long time, we see people come and we see them change. It's the greatest feeling to see somebody having a spiritual change in their life. There was a sense of victory. Now, victory over what? Over alcohol, but over the bondage of my selfishness. Mm-hmm. And that's such a relief. I don't have to be in bondage to my self-centeredness anymore, unless I choose to. Followed by such a peace and serenity as I'd ever known. And it says that the ninth step promises on page 83, which is after you've worked steps 4 through 9, you're in the world of the spirit. It says you'll have a sense of peace, right? You will know peace and you will know serenity. You will truly have it. Now for me, I didn't realize, but all I wanted my whole life was some peace and serenity. You know, I thought if I could get all these things out there, I'd feel okay, right? But all I really wanted was to feel okay inside and have peace and serenity. And I couldn't find it from out there. I had to find it from in here and from my relationship with God. That was a change. I thought if I could just manage the world well and fix everything, I'd have a good day. Anybody do that? And you'll have a good day every once in a while, you know, the last maybe a week. But it's not the way to spiritual peace. The way to spiritual peace is to have the relationship with God and then live in the world. It says, I had utter confidence. Confidence in who? In God. See, he had self-confidence before. That didn't work at all. He felt lifted up as though the great wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. So he had a pretty profound spiritual experience. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound. Now, we have that line at the end of the promises. We suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So any spiritual experience is always going to be suddenly, but it can be sometimes slowly, sometimes quickly. You've heard that too, right? Now, what determines whether it's slow or quick? How quickly you work the steps, that's what I think. The quicker you work the steps, the more you get closer to God. And the experience grows. Now, Bill W. had a very profound spiritual experience, and he was alarmed. He called the doctor, Silkworth, to ask if he was still sane. He listened in wonder as I talked, finally shook his head, saying, "Something has happened to you I don't understand, but you had better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were." The good doctor now sees many men who have had such experience. He knows that they are real. These are real experiences. That's what this book is. It's a testimony to people's real experiences. And he had a change in his personality, and he went from self-centered to serving others. Now, Bill W. had such a profound spiritual change in that hospital bed, and you're going to see what happened to him in the next pages. And unless he had had this profound experience, we wouldn't be here today. And Joe and Charlie make the analogy to the Damascus Road and Paul. Paul was riding to go kill all the Christians, and he was on a donkey, Joe and Charlie said, and he got knocked off the ass on his ass. And God spoke to him and said, you need to change. And when you do these things, you're going to become Paul. And a very profound experience from Paul on the Damascus Road. Anybody believe he didn't have one? Of course he did. Look at what he did and how he changed. And Bill W. had the same thing. It took some powerful experience of Bill W. to sustain him through the next pages till he met Dr. Bob. You want to close the door? Till he met Dr. Bob, and then he was able to help others and write the book. And so it took something like that. I think this experience Bill W. I call the Big Bang. Something happened to this man that sustained him through all the travails to help us. So here's what happened. He goes in the hospital, he's dying, and then he says, "While I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given me." So here's a man who was very self-centered, comes to the hospital, And he's had this experience. Immediately he's thinking of how he can give this away. He's thinking of the people he can help. What a change in his personality. Perhaps I could help some of them. They in turn might work with others. So he already saw how this would work. See the dramatic change? It's written so powerfully. These things happen. God came to him. He had this experience. Immediately he's thinking of love and service, right? He's thinking of how he can help other people. My friend, which is Abby Thatcher, had emphasized the absolute necessity to demonstrate these principles in all my affairs. That's in the 12th step, right? We have to live this program. We have to work it. And we have to live it. It's absolutely necessary. Why? Because if I stop doing it, alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful, right? And without help, it is too much for us. Particularly, it was imperative for me to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead. What's going on out there? What? Oh. Anyway. It says it's imperative that we work with others as he had worked with me. It's imperative. Why? If we don't give it away, we're not going to keep it, right? And the more I work it, the more it works me, right? Where's Steve's not here tonight. Faith without works was dead. And it says, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. Now, faith without works is from the book of James, right? And it says, how appallingly true for the alcoholic. So for us, it's really true. And why? What does faith without works mean is dead? Well, here he gives it in this next sentence. He says, for an alcoholic fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he cannot survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. So if I don't try to perfect and enlarge my spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice, then my faith is not going to sustain itself, right? It'll be dead. And so the more faith I have, the more works. And the more works, the more faith. And so it's a circle for me. It says, if he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Now, why will you drink again if you don't do the work? Because if you don't do the work, you have no relationship with God. And you're not living in a God-centered life. And then you're self-centered. And what do we say? Sober without God, alcoholics drink. And anybody had that experience? Anybody ever had that experience, sober drinking again? I'm being facetious. Nobody laughed. I'm not that funny. My wife told me that tonight, by the way. That faith would be dead indeed. With us, it's just like that. See, faith, if we're not doing the deal, this AA is a program of works. It's a program of action. And the action sustain the faith. And without the action, just believing won't work for an alcoholic. It has to be through faith and through the actions of the steps. So our faith is the result of the actions. We don't start with faith. We start with belief, and then through the actions, I have faith. Now, what does that mean? It means that today I know that if I have an issue, I can go right to God. I know God's right there deep down inside me. I take the actions in 10 and 11, and I get back to God. If I'm disturbed, fear, I say the prayer for fear. God, remove my fear. How should I be? If I'm angry, God, save me from being angry. How can I be loving and tolerant? It always works. He says, my wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm to the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. So we have a solution to our problems. Now on page 45, it says, what is our problem? Lack of power. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Lack of power is our dilemma. We must have a power to live. So all of my problems are, it says, and what do we have to do? It says on page 45, we have to find a power, and the power solves our problems. See, I don't solve anything. I don't, have God help me solve this. No. I find the power, and the power solves it. So I have to get it out of the way. And I always thought, I'm going to have God help me. Lack of power is a dilemma, so God help me get the power. No. What I have to do is find a power, and it can't be me, and the power solves the problem. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. So I had a self-help program where God was going to help me too. You know, it was very convenient. It didn't work. But I didn't understand the steps when I first came, and nobody explained to me. Nobody taught the book to me. And so I was confused. But I have to get out of the way now. And God solves the problem. He says, it was fortunate for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found little work. So things didn't go great for Bill. I was not too well at the time, and I was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. Anybody relate to that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's sober. You know, he's a sober alcoholic. He's trying to do the steps. He still gets self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but here's what I found. I found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Now, why would that be? Because he's getting away from self. If he's in self-pity and resentment, he's in self. So he's going to turn away from self and find somebody to help. It says that on step 10. Remember, it says we watch for selfish society, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them, right? We discuss it with someone, we make amends, and we turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Turn away from me. And his wife said to him, he said to his wife, you know, Lois, he says, I've been sober 6 months and we've had people die in the house and nobody's gotten sober. I've tried to work with all these alcoholics. You know what she said to him? You're sober, Bill. You're sober. It's worked for you. Now, he remembered that when he went to Akron in May of 1935 and he was going to drink in the, go to the bar and get a drink because the business deal fell through. And it was a Saturday, and he had no hope, and he thought the music sounded good in the bar. And he says, I crossed the threshold, and I shivered, because he knew, he was thinking about taking a drink. And then here's where God said to Bill, bad idea. And he said, you know, I remembered what Lois had said. He turned away from the bar, and he found someone to work with, and he saw, met Dr. Bob, we're here today. So the big bang was where he had the spiritual experience in the hospital, and the big turning point in our recovery was the moment Bill turned away from the bar and the drink. And God said to him, you need to find someone to work with. Bad idea, Bill. Don't go in the bar. And he says, many times I've gone to my old hospital in despair and talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. See, he felt better from going to the hospital. Anybody else have that experience? We'll talk about that because we're going to have a few minutes. It's a design for living that works in rough going. Now, that's really the definition of the 12 steps. It's a design for living that works in rough going. Now, the design for living that alcoholics had, that in rough going, we go get a drink, right? That didn't work very well. Did that work for anybody else? And it's a design for living that works in rough going, and it always works. We commence to make fast friends, and a fellowship has grown among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. So no matter what the outside situations, you can still have a joy of living. I've seen hundreds of families set their feet in a path that really goes somewhere. Notice the terminology. I've seen the most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. I've seen men come out of asylums and resume a vital place in the lives of their families and communities. Business and professional men have regained their standing. There's scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. How's that? Powerful stuff. In one city and its environs, there are 1,000 of us and our family. Now, I think in the original book, it wasn't 1,000. It was changed in subsequent editions. We meet frequently so that newcomers may find the fellowship they seek. So why did they have the meetings? They had the meetings so they could be in a fellowship with each other, seeking God, and that there was a place for the new person to go to join them in the path to God. You see, it was a different world back then. And it's the fellowship they seek. You will find the fellowship you seek. It says that in a vision for you. It says you'll find the people, the vision you seek. And I heard the speaker says that the people you hang around with are the people you're going to become. So who are you hanging around with? What is their goals? What is their... It's a powerful statement, isn't it? Think about it. And so it says we're growing in number and power. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. It says that constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves cannot and will not. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some will be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath it, there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us. The faith works in us and through us. So we're a channel of God's peace. Remember the St. Francis prayer? It works in us, and then it works through us to help others, or we're going to perish. Most of us feel we need to look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Now, he couldn't have imagined. He couldn't have imagined when he wrote this what AA would be able to do. And there are how many people in this room, probably as many people in this room now as were sober when they wrote the book. And then I love this. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. So when he went into the hospital in 1934, he lived 37 years. So this is a powerful testimony. Bill's story is a testimony. And it has all the elements of recovery. It has the problem, the solution, the program of action, the spiritual change. So we're going to, next week, we'll start on There's a Solution. I'll open it up and people can comment. I hope it was helpful.